Good morning. I wish I was coming up here with and under better circumstances. We'll miss the Petties this morning, and especially Dan, not just because he get to hear me this morning, but because he always brings great lessons every Sunday. And thank you, Dan, for reading that long scripture. Recently, a couple segments ago, Dale taught the high school slash young adult class going through the forefathers and reading through Genesis. And I'm always amazed when I read through Genesis to be able to read all the details and the stories and the characters and how all those facts from right back in the beginning, how they always foreshadow and come into play later on, and how it amplifies the glory of God, and how his plan, you see him, his plan not changing. And it's amazing to see that. And Matt's words, you know, these aren't just characters from a story, they're real people. And these are real people who have free will. And yet God is able to use these characters and use these stories and use these real people and real ways that comes to life when we see Christ come to play. And it amazes me how under the old covenant, God never changed, and on the new covenant, God never changed. His glory never changed. But yet, we see the new covenant superior over the old covenant. And it begs the question, what makes the new covenant superior over the old covenant? What are the differences? And I could go through Romans or Hebrews, and certainly that would be some good sermons, explain very powerfully how they are connected. But those scriptures can be very complex and tough to read. And, you know, even for the young ones, they can kind of go over the head. I know it went over the head a lot for me when I was young. So I wanted to take a simple approach today so that all could understand what makes the new covenant greater than the old covenant. And I'm going to use the story again from Genesis, because as we see, God's plan doesn't change, and it does is amplify his purpose or his plan. And we'll use the story of Hagar and Sarah to explain the differences between the old covenant and the new covenant. Now, fortunately for me, Paul already did this lesson, so I'll just break down his lesson and hopefully I can explain it well. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. We'll stop there. Now, to give a little context here, there was some trouble between the Jews and the Gentiles going on. And the Jews were kind of resentful of the conversion of the Gentiles. For the Jews have been the special people for all these years, thousands of years. They've been the special people in a covenant relationship with God from the time of Abraham. And not only that, But this entire time, they were told to be separated, to separate themselves from the Gentiles. And now they're telling, and now they're learning that they're having to share this inheritance, this relationship with these very people that they were supposed to separate. And so the Jews decided to take a little, what's the word? I guess freedom in their own hands, and decided to put some laws of the old covenant onto the Gentiles. For the sign of the old law was circumcision. And so they were forcing these Gentiles, saying, oh, if you want to be saved, you got to be circumcised. But as Paul clearly will lay out here, that's not the case, because the old covenant is no longer in use. The new covenant is far superior than the old covenant. There's no need to go back to the old covenant. And so that's where he begins with this, as he's teaching them through the story of Abraham and really through the story of Sarah and Hagar. And so the first point he makes is that Abram had two sons, one through a bondwoman and one through a free woman. Now, how does this relate to the old covenant and to the new covenant? The old covenant was certainly righteous and it was holy. But it had its limitations because us men were imperfect. Read it, Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. We'll just read verse 1. It says, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. So relating this to the old covenant, that old covenant, if you wanted to live under that old covenant, you were enslaved to that old covenant. And what that old covenant meant was, and what it taught you, was that you were lost and you were in need of a savior. You didn't have a savior under the old covenant. And so you were enslaved to those limitations. Just like Hagar was a bondservant, a bondwoman. And she was enslaved to her masters, or master in case of Sarah. But Sarah was a free woman. Just like the new covenant frees us from the limitations of the old covenant. And we're set free through Christ. And so we see right off the back his comparison of a bondwoman and a free woman. How that compares to an old covenant and a new covenant. How the old covenant being enslaved through its limitations, through the need of a savior, while the new covenant freeing us from those limitations. And it keeps going. So back in Galatians chapter 4, his next point is, but he who was, talking about the son, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Now, if you remember the story of the birth of Ishmael and the birth of Isaac, you'll remember how Abraham knew that he was given a promise. But he decided to fulfill that promise through his eyes, through what he saw, how he thought God would intended it to be. And so him and Sarah made a plan to fulfill that promise through fleshly means. Similar to what the Jews were doing here, the Gentiles, with the Gentiles. They were trying to put a fleshly law onto the Gentiles, trying to teach them that, hey, the only way you're going to be saved through Christ is if you be circumcised. But just like in the Ishmael story, that's not God's intention. So what happened with Isaac's birth? Well, if you remember, Sarah being so old and Abraham being so old, they laughed, or Sarah particularly laughed at the idea that she could still bore a son. But what was this teaching them? If you remember God's response in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 13. This is God's response to her laughing. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" Isaac's birth could only happen through the power of God. So we see the difference between Ishmael's birth and Isaac's birth. Ishmael was done through fleshly means, through man's eyes, while Isaac's could only be done through God's power. And so while the Jews were trying to teach that you could only have salvation through the act of circumcision, the new covenant was superior to that, because it's taught us that we only have salvation through the power of God, which we got through Christ Jesus and his resurrection. We can read Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 7. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of a son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." And read Acts chapter 13, verses 38 through 39. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses." So we see Paul teaching the Jews here so far, comparing the new covenant with the old covenant, by talking about how Ishmael was born of a bond woman, Isaac being born of a free woman. How Ishmael was born through fleshly means, Isaac born only through the power of God. Let's keep going. Verse 24 of chapter 4 of Galatians. "Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all." Here, Paul is using an allegory to drive home a point for the Jews and Christians through the difference of the fleshly sonship of Ishmael and versus the true sonship of Isaac. Here, Hagar which again is relating to the Old Covenant, corresponds to the Jerusalem here on earth. Those who are still subject, so Hagar here representing those who are still subject to the Mosaic law and to the earthly Jerusalem. But the gospel, the new covenant, is of the Jerusalem above, which is free. We can read Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Describing the Jerusalem or the church or the spiritual city of all Christians. And then we can read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Again, this relates back to what was happening in Jerusalem, the current Judaism of the Old Covenant. And lastly, back in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So we keep seeing this difference that he's making with the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. Old Covenant being that of a bond woman, you being enslaved to its limitations, being that after born after flesh, and of that of an earthly Jerusalem. While the new covenant, being represented by Sarah, is that of a free woman, born of through God's promise, through God's power, and is that representing of a heavenly Jerusalem. And then as we continue in Galatians, Paul quotes the scripture that Darren, part of the scripture that Darren just read. And it reads, "For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband." Now, I had Darren read chapter 53 because 53 depicts Christ as a suffering Savior. But then, as we see in verse 1, 54, which is what Paul is quoting here, he pictures a joyful spirit and rapid growth of a Jerusalem. If you remember in Isaiah's time, Jerusalem at the time, this would have been under the captivity of Babylon. So it was downtrodden and it was in despair. It wasn't looking pretty. And yet Isaiah is portraying a time in which the desolate will have many more children than she who has a husband. A joyful spirit and a joyful picture of what the Jerusalem above, which Sarah represents. And then lastly, verses 28 through 31. It reads, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So we see so far new covenant being represented by, or the old covenant being represented by a bondwoman, one who gave birth through fleshly means, one who represents the earthly Jerusalem. And then here we see the bondwoman persecuting that of the children of promise. If you remember with Ishmael and Isaac, Ishmael was kind of a side of a thorn to the Israelites and to Isaac. Ishmael was jealous of Isaac. And in the same way, this is what was kind of happening with the Judaizers of this time. They were kind of persecuting the Christians. They were scorning them, those that were teaching the true gospel. They were pressuring them to accept their truth and not God's truth. But here, he's teaching those who are of the free woman to be strong and to cast out that of the bondwoman, just like Sarah did to Hagar. Remember, Sarah asked Abraham to kick out Hagar and Ishmael. And in the same way, we have to do that when it comes to false teachers, those who are trying to limit our freedom. And so this last point is how Christians must guard against accepting false doctrine that results in forfeiting the freedom that is in Christ. And we can read Matthew chapter 15. Verses 7-9. It says, hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now, hopefully you were able to follow along. I wish I was able to create a PowerPoint to make it easier visually. But to go through it again, we have Ishmael, or we have Hagar, who is a bondwoman, representing that of the old covenant. For if you wanted to practice the old covenant itself was righteous and holy, for it came from God, but it had its limitations, and us who are imperfect would have been enslaved to those limitations, and we would have been without a savior. And so the old covenant has no power over the new covenant. And it's that only through earthly means. It's only of earthly Jerusalem. You're only sacrificing through the blood of bulls and goats. And ultimately, those who are under the old covenant, trying to mingle with the Christians, are being a thorn to their side. While Sarah, representing the new covenant, was that of a free woman. For we've been freed through Christ. And the only way we were freed through Christ was through the power of God, It wasn't through ourselves, our own acts. And because of that, we're able to take joy in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem above. And we must guard ourselves from that of that promise. Guarding ourselves from false teachers. And not just guard ourselves, but cast them away. So hopefully you learned something new. If you're here this morning and you haven't taken part of the new covenant of Christ, who frees you from your bondages of sin, then we ask that you come forward and act upon that as we stand and sing.